So, Council, I'd like to introduce Roger Bond. All right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. I'm Nancy Black, and we had the same procedure for every candidate, so I'm just going to outline it for you. First of all, thank you very much for your application and for coming for this interview today. You will have 3 to 5 minutes to make an opening statement, and then we have a series of 7 questions that we've asked every applicant. The board members will then may choose to ask you a few other questions. You'll have an opportunity to ask questions about the role of a trustee, should you have questions. And then if you want, there is 2 to 3 minute closing statement. So we're ready when you are.
Okay, very good. Thank you, and good morning to everyone. And thank you very much for considering me. This is an honor just to be here. I would also like to add that I hope that you pardon my grammar or whatever. My wife says, don't talk Stearns County. So we'll go with that. And also, I'll be respectful of the time, since my wife always says, when you start telling stories, when is this plane going to land? So, but just to give you a little bit of my background and why I would love to have this position and do this, is I just feel very strongly, and the way I was raised was to give back. And I need to give back to Minsky. I need to give back to the education system of the state of Minnesota. Frankly, without the technical and community colleges in Minnesota, our industry could not exist. I came from a generation yet where you could be mentored. A technician could take you under his wing and teach you the skill. Today, in our environment and in the automotive environment, medium and heavy truck environment, that doesn't exist anymore. We need to have some sort of apprentice program or education to bring these young technicians along. And I'm not just speaking to the automotive, welding and all those sorts of things too. And so with that being said, obviously my expertise would come more to the community and technical college side than the four-year university. Our daughter is a graduate of St. Cloud State University, and we're an avid supporter of the Huskies. I also believe in that, but I'm also a firm believer in community and technical college. I think that is where our workforce is coming from. I know it is from our industry, and I'm very proud of the work that I've done with the community college. First and foremost, I would thank our legislators that we got a $4 million bonding bill passed that we were told couldn't get done to build a new medium-heavy truck facility in St. Cloud and also expand the auto body program. So I'm very proud of that. And that project starts this August already. We were ground ready. Our president, President Helens, is very thrifty, and she spent the money to do all the groundwork. We have all the architectural work done. We're digging August 1st. And so that's pretty cool. My father is, I'm second-generation owner of our facility in St. Cloud. I've had one job, so this interview is kind of new to me. I've been employed at Peter's Body Shop for 39 years. But I do believe very strongly in giving back. And I give back to our industry. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, I have a meeting at our AASP office. That's Automotive Service Providers. And I'm the immediate past president of that organization. I've done 2 tours of duty there for a total of 12 years. Also currently the chairperson for the St. Cloud Regional Airport Board. So I work closely with City Council in St. Cloud and the FAA, and I've worked with the DNR and several other organizations, which I find very fascinating on how the process works. So that is a brief synopsis. We'll land the plane now, and that gives you a little bit of history. I've lived in St. Cloud since 1960. We were originally born in Watertown, South Dakota, and we moved there as a child. So.
Thank you.
Thank you. First question, please describe your understanding of the role of a trustee and explain why you consider yourself a good candidate for this role.
Through our Automotive Association, I feel very, very strongly that board members need to be active. I take it very, very seriously. I I am not a rubber stamp board member. Our St. Cloud Regional Airport Board used to be a rubber stamp board that they did whatever the executive director really directed them to. We get no votes all the time. No. For instance, a brief example. The mayor of St. Cloud, Dave Kleiss, he wanted parking, paid parking at St. Cloud Airport. We're trying to get an airline there. We had an airline. We lost it. We're trying to get it back. He wanted to charge to park at the St. Cloud Airport. I said, he was in the shop for us to fix his car, and I pulled him aside. I said, Dave, you really think that's a good idea? We want to steal those customers from Minneapolis. We want them to come up to St. Cloud to fly to Chicago, and we're going to charge for parking. I said, I want to invite you to come to our next airport board meeting. Needless to say, Mayor Kleiss didn't come to our next board meeting, but he did have a memo on our agenda that said he's rescinding that. He thought that that wasn't a very good idea now. So the point of my story is I think you need to stand up and say what's on your mind. A favorite saying of mine is from General Patton. And General Patton said, if no one is disagreeing, no one is thinking. And so I think that you need to have honest discussion. Not that you can't be swayed and have your opinion changed. I think that's important, that you need to be open-minded. But I also think you need to be active, be there, and I want to emphasize that. I will be here. If you make a commitment to be on a board, you need to be there. And so you work your schedule around that. I feel very, very strongly about that. Mm-hmm. So I hope that answered your question, Tim.
Good morning, or almost good afternoon. You've already started to do this a little bit, and you may want to expand on it. Describe your past board experience and its relevance to the Board of Trustees.
Very good. I will expand on it a little bit. I take great pride in our work with the Minnesota Automotive Association. Because of my opportunity to be on that board and serve, I got to travel around the country a little bit. And every time that I went to another state, they kept asking me, how did you guys do what you did? We have a lot of consumer protection laws in the state of Minnesota through our association. An example is one that I'm very proud of is that no insurance company can force you to use aftermarket parts on your car. All the states around us, they can just put aftermarket parts on your car without your permission. You have a 2012 Cadillac, and they could put a new aftermarket fender made in, other than by General Motors on your car. That should be your decision, not an insurance company's decision. So we passed legislation to protect the consumer in that area. We get asked, how did you guys do that? And I simply say, got off the couch. Get involved. Get downtown and talk to your legislators and work at that. And that's what it takes, is getting off the couch. Our regional airport board, I take a lot of pride in that. We've gotten our runway expanded to 7,000 feet. We've got a brand new terminal there. We have a brand new skyway that we got done. I worked with the DNR and a consulting firm from Minneapolis to move a county road. Boy, was that an experience, because it abuts a wildlife management area. And if that wasn't interesting, but it was fun. The process was amazing, and it was very, very enjoyable. So that expands on it a little bit without going any further. If you have any further questions about it, I'd love to talk about it more.
No, thank you very much. Just moving a county road is,
Oh, it's unbelievable.
A real feat.
The next question is, what do you see as the key issues on the horizon for higher education in Minnesota and for the Minnesota State Colleges and University system in particular?
I would like to say, I hope you don't mind, I'm going to say two key issues. The very first one, and I just heard this on the radio yesterday, and it got me all fired up right away. Somebody was complaining about Minsky on the radio in St. Cloud. By the way, Chancellor, and I know where it came from, Chancellor Rosenstone was in St. Cloud at the Rotary Club on Tuesday. So I know probably where that discussion came from. But on the radio, they were talking about students coming out of Minsky, it doesn't matter, four-year university, two-year technical community college, doesn't matter, that they're not immediately employable and can immediately do the job that business is hiring. I think that is hogwash. I think that business needs to step up and say, hey, we take over from here in the educational part of it. You guys can't produce, Minsku cannot produce an employee that's ready to go immediately. An example is in my own business. We just hired a new technician out of the St. Cloud Technical Community College, just graduated a month ago. He worked for us for 2 weeks. I sent him to St. Louis for 3 days to get training on alignment equipment. We have to pick up the ball from there. They're not done learning. They're not done learning. And I also believe, to my second point, which is a huge challenge, and all I failed to mention this, I am also the vice chair of the St. Cloud Technical College Foundation. And we raise money for scholarships. And I always look at the scholarships and applications and read them, and, you know, it rips your heart out, some of these kids that are trying to get ahead. It's horrible. There's people in our state that are heating their trailer houses in the wintertime with Bunsen burners, you know, and they're trying to get an education. It's terrible. But where I'm going with that is I also firmly believe that business and industry needs to step up with scholarship programs to help offset the cost of tuition. These people, in the end, make money for our companies. And we have an obligation to do that. So I would like to learn more about how business can, sponsor students and given programs, that sort of thing. Toyota, several years ago, and they quit it, had what they call a T10 program, where they would take a technician and they would train him specifically to Toyota. And then in return, the student would have to work 2 years in that Toyota dealership, but the Toyota dealership provided him his education. We need to do more things like that. So that was two. I'm sorry I did two instead of one.
Describe your understanding of diversity and your experience working with diverse populations.
Being from St. Cloud, diversity is a new thing for us. I'll be very, very honest. It's a very new thing in St. Cloud. And we're working hard. We have a strong Somali population in St. Cloud that we're learning about. And believe it or not, my son probably taught me as much about diversity as anything. He's married a young Thai woman about a year ago. And I've learned through her family cultural differences and so on and so forth. So diversity is a challenge in St. Cloud. I think we're making huge strides. I'm very proud of the work that the community college in St. Cloud has done towards diversity. President Helens was actually a member of the Elder Council of the Somali community in St. Cloud, and we have a very nice population of students at St. Cloud Community and Technical College. I can't speak to St. Cloud State University. I'm not familiar with that, but I know that community college is working real hard to integrate them into our
needs
school.
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair. Next question. What is your vision for maximal access to educational opportunities for students? So what is your vision for the maximal access for education opportunities for students in the Minsku system?
My vision, I'm going to relate back to my statement earlier, my vision is really get business involvement. We have to make it affordable for these kids. We have to make it affordable, and I feel that business needs to step up and make that happen. I don't think it's the state's sole responsibility to educate and train our workforce. I feel business needs to train and our workforce. I think that it is the state's responsibility and education's responsibility to make sure our candidates and future employees can read and write. But as far as being able to be absolutely trained in our industry so they can come in and I don't have to provide any extra training, I don't think that's the state's responsibility or Minsku's responsibility. Give me a well-rounded person that can communicate with their co-workers and has a desire to continue to learn, and we will make them what we need.
Thank you.
Yes.
Could you describe the unique challenges of a system comprised of technical, community colleges, and four-year institutions?
Boy, that is what I see as the toughest challenge with that is getting these students going the right way out of the box. In other words, that they don't get confused and they end up at a four-year university because that's where a counselor said they need to go, mm-hmm. when they really need to be at a community and technical college because they're a hands-on person. Mm-hmm. We are doing some things in St. Cloud that I'm excited about. One of them is called Discovery Academy. And what that is it's a bridge between high school and either a four-year college or the community college. I was just at a meeting and listened to a presentation by three young students that was absolutely phenomenal. And the example that they did is they built a trailer moving mechanism that you can hook to your boat. And why I felt this was important is when all three of them got done with this, they engineered it, they had blueprints of it, and then they built it, and they welded it, and painted it, and made a video. And of those three students, one wants to be an engineer, and two want to be welders from that experience. So my point of that is because of Discovery Academy, one knows he wants to go to a four-year university, and the other two are going to go to the community college. Mm-hmm. And if we can develop that kind of for more kids, unfortunately, that program doesn't have enough people in it. It's done at Apollo High School, and we need more kids in that so they can find out what they like. I think that is the biggest problem is that these kids are wasting time going the wrong direction. They're at a four-year university when they should be at another one, or else they go to a two-year community college, and that isn't what they want. And we got to somehow get them going the right way.
Thank you. Okay. Could you explain to us how you see the problems of conflict of interest and in a person who was a trustee, and how would you handle the situation if you found that to be the case?
If I had a conflict of interest, I would bring it to the board and say immediately why I felt I had a conflict and recuse myself. If I think someone else has a conflict, I would very simply and professionally and with the utmost respect confront them and say, what's the deal? What do we need to do here? And I said, you know, my hands are tied. I'm going to have to bring this to the board unless you want to bring it to the board yourself. I would want that person to, you know, just maybe coax them to bring it to themselves so that they brought it forward, that they maybe shouldn't be involved in this decision.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, that's the end of the series of questions. Does anybody have any additional questions? Okay. Sonia?
I'll go ahead and go first with mine. Within the role of trustee, much attention is given to the University of Minnesota and the MISCU system, but there are greater Minnesota out-of-state institutions that need equal attention outside of the Twin Cities. How would you assure equitable attention is given to those out-state Minnesota institutions?
That one is almost, that's going to be hard to be not biased. Being from outstate Minnesota, I'm very concerned about outstate Minnesota. In fact, in my dealings with the legislature over both associations or that I've dealt with, or with Community College and our Automotive Association, I'm starting to see as an outsider, not so much even partisanship between the Democrats and Republicans, as I mean, it's metro and outstate. There's issues. And I see that as an outsider. So I'm going to, you know, obviously going to be fighting harder for maybe outstate Minnesota than I would be for the metro, but I got to put that behind me. It's my job to be equal. Right. I get that. I totally understand that. I got to do what is right. What's right for the state and right for all the institutions. So, but I to sit here and say I wouldn't lean wouldn't probably be true.
Yeah.
But and that's me to tell it like it is. I've got a reputation of being very black and white. You know, that you ask me, you're going to get a direct answer. But I think we do need to be conscious of outstate Minnesota. There's a lot of people out there in my professional business. We're not a large company. We've grown to 27 employees over the years. I do not have one person working for me that came from the Twin Cities. They've come from Western Minnesota. They've come from Northwestern Minnesota. But these are people that want a little larger town but don't want to be in the metro. Mm-hmm. So, we need to champion outstate Minnesota, absolutely, and not forget about them.
Okay, are there any other questions? Okay, what we're showing all of the candidates is the board packet from last month. We know that it requires considerable sacrifice of time and commitment on the part of a trustee, and we just want all of the candidates to be aware of the expectation. So it's 9 meetings a year, and they are 2-day meetings. Okay?
Yes, I studied the calendar, so I saw your current calendar.
Oh, good. Okay. Do you have any questions about the responsibilities of a trustee?
I guess my only question is, and I will be very upfront, my knowledge of the four-year universities, other than my daughter being a graduate of St. Cloud State University, would probably be limited. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to pretend that I know all the inner workings of St. Cloud State or any other four-year university. I would be very, very willing to learn. I have no problem reading that packet.
Mm-hmm.
As I said earlier, a board member is serious business. Mm-hmm. And in our State Automotive Association, the decisions I made were, I was impacting 600 members. There's 600 member shops. Probably, I don't remember exact the number of employees, but several thousand people were impacted and their families by the work that I did. So I take it very, very seriously. And I would have no problem learning and whatever I need to learn or read or get up to speed as far as the inner workings of four-year universities, and have no problem reading the packet. I also, as I said in my resume, I'd also want to emphasize that my business is in place now, that I'm in I'm still the majority owner, but I have sold 49% of my business to one of my employees, and so I'm in a transition over the next 5 years, so my schedule is flexible. So I'm able to do these sorts of things. I'm just, that's just the way it is now. And as I said, I've been there for 40 years, and I want to give back. And so I have the time to do those sort of things. I can read that at work. You know, I'm just there to...
Don't let the boss catch you.
Exactly. But my point being is my job, my duties at work now are to answer questions, to teach,
mm-hmm.
you know, and mentor. And so I do these things at work, too, so...
Yes, if you like, you can make a closing statement. That sounded like one to me, but if there's anything you'd like to add, now's the time to do it.
I guess you're right. I did make a closing statement there, and I just want to emphasize again, I take the job very seriously. I'm honored to even be here. Thank you so much. I also want to thank you for your job. You volunteer, too, for your time and energy and time, and thank you for your service to the state of Minnesota. And this is a great state to live in, and I want to try to make it better. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.